Have you ever accused anybody of eavesdropping? I love it when God reveals Himself. When Brother Clemens got in the pulpit, I said, well, undoubtedly he was involved in mine and the Lord's conversation all day today. And he stomped around all over where God wants me to be at tonight and left me a few crumbs to throw out here at you. And so if anybody knows where the book of Nehemiah is, chapter number one, don't look at me like that, Brother Clemens. He wasn't talking to you. He was talking to me. You just took it wrong. See, he is staying above me, and it was piping down out of heaven. And he thought he was supposed to, y'all looking at me like this is funny. No, it ain't. It ain't really. It ain't funny. But I know it's God. And I appreciate being here. I love the Corbett family. I love y'all. Brother Ken, I can't express our gratitude being here in this meeting. It's wonderful staying down there, even though Brother Clemens snored like a grizzly bear last night. We made it through, and I love you people. I do, and I love your preacher. You need to pray for him physically. You need to keep praying for your preacher. I love him like I love my one of my own, and I appreciate him. I love his whole family. Megan, Macy, grandbabies, Mama Rose, everybody. Just good being here. Love it. Love being here. Have you found Nehemiah chapter 1? All right. That's good. That's good. I'm going to look at several verses throughout the book of Nehemiah, give you a few thoughts, and then we'll go to the house. Look at verse number 3 of chapter 1 firstly. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. Then said I unto them, notice, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Look at chapter 4, verse number 2. The Bible says, and he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Here we go. Look at this part. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Look at verse number 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Jerusalem, as Brother Clemens mentioned, it is a mess, literally. There's rubbish everywhere. The walls had been destroyed. There's stones and mortar and there's fragments laying all around Jerusalem. Nobody had seemed to find a way to get that wall built back. And it said, and there is much rubbish. Kind of looked like a demolition area, how it was just a mess so that we are not able to build the wall. Look at chapter number 6 with me, if you will, in verse number 15. Here is the good part. Now, I've read you some depressing, discouraging verses. Now, look what happens, though, in verse 15 of chapter number 6. So the wall was finished. Isn't that amazing? Those other verses, there was rubbish, there was ruin, there was a mess. But yet it says the wall was finished. Notice, on the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. Now when you consider the size of the wall and how big this wall was, it was humongous going around the city of Jerusalem. They put it back together in 52 days. Now let me say this. They didn't use a lot of new material. They used what they had. In other words, they picked up the broken pieces and used what had once been destroyed to put it back together. I'm glad God is able to pick up the broken pieces and bring restoration back into our lives. So the fact that they built this wall, rebuilt it in 52 days, she was a mess. It tells me, and this is what I want to preach on for a little bit, there's a miracle in the mess. You can be seated tonight. A lot of times in life we get caught up looking at the damage. We get caught up looking at the destruction. We get caught up looking at the debris of a life that has been bombarded by the enemy. A lot of times we see the effect of a life that seemingly has been destroyed, and we focus on that remains, and we say, man, that person is in a mess. Those guys, when they went back to Nehemiah, that is exactly what they were saying in Georgia terms. Jerusalem is in a mess. I don't know what you are going through tonight. I don't know a lot of you people personally. Some of you I do. But I do know that in a lot of our lives tonight, Brother Mike, if we could look at ourselves on the inside and what some of us in here this evening are dealing with, we would probably come to the same conclusion, preacher, that we are a reproach. There's much rubbish. We have been torn, and yes, maybe our life is in a mess. I'm pastoring a church of people just like you. I deal with people's lives who are in a mess, and it breaks my heart. That's why it's so wonderful to have meetings like this where we can shout and fellowship and sing the songs of Zion, because a lot of our lives we're laying in ruin, and we wonder, does anybody care that Jerusalem lieth waste? But friend, hang on, I've got a good consolation tonight. If your life isn't a mess, hallelujah, there's a miracle in your mess. You think I'll never be restored? You might be restored a whole lot quicker than you think. You think the damage is too great? Nobody is willing to help, but you just need the right one to get involved in your life. And if the right one, Brother Phillips, it's good to see my friend from Alabama back yonder in the back. If the right one gets involved in your mess, if Nehemiah, who is the right one that Brother Clemens mentioned a while ago, if he'll get, and thank God for people that will get involved in my mess, in my life, and help restore me when my life has been destroyed. I'm going to try to get you to see something tonight that a lot of times we have trouble seeing. I see a lot of similarities about Nehemiah, along with being a type, not a full type, of Christ. His name means consolation or comforter. But I'm glad we've got a comforter that when our life is in a mess. Brother Ken, where would we be at tonight if we didn't have the God of all comfort when the enemy had invaded us and took our family captive into another strange land? And they lay their hearts upon the willow tree, just like they did here. I'm glad there's a God in glory who is the God of all comfort. He's the one we need. He's the one that'll help you. There's a miracle in your mess. There's more similarities than just His name. Y'all hold on just a moment. I'm not going to be long, but I do want to get my point across. Nehemiah, similar to the Lord. Let me share a few of them with you before I get to my message so this will better help you understand. As we look at him as a type of Christ, he was burdened for the people. Brother Clemens mentioned that. Number two, he left his position of honor. He was in the king's house. Nehemiah didn't have to leave where he was. Jesus didn't have to leave the king's house. But he who was rich for our sake became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. I'm glad Jesus didn't stay in the king's house. I'm glad he come to help me get out of the mess I'm in. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forever. He was willing to sacrifice his own life. Nehemiah put his life on the line to help this people get out of a mess. He could have been killed by the king, dear brother. When he went and asked leave, the king could have killed him just like that. Why? He was the king's cupbearer. Anything that was brought to the king, Nehemiah was to try it first. The king could have got suspicious and had him killed just by him asking leave. He put his life on the line. So did Jesus. Are you listening to me tonight? Jesus put his life on the line. He gave up his life for me and you tonight when our life was in a mess. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, he came and he gave his life for me and you. Another type we see, he was mocked for his effort. Nehemiah was mocked by Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. They mocked him. So Jesus was mocked for his effort. Nehemiah wasn't intimidated by the enemy. The enemy tried to intimidate Nehemiah the whole time, but that didn't stop Nehemiah. Are you listening? The enemy tries to intimidate the Lord. He did. The devil tried to intimidate the Lord Jesus, but I'm glad he's not intimidated by no devil, thank God. He labored with the people just like Nehemiah. Nehemiah labored with the people. The people had to mind the work. Who it is that's helping us, motivating you and I to get on the wall and rebuild? He's laboring among the people. Is the Lord Jesus. He straightened out a mess. That's exactly what Nehemiah did. Boy, the Lord has straightened out a lot of our messes. Here's another one. He succeeded in his plans. Nehemiah succeeded in what he started out to do. So did Christ. He succeeded in what he done. He left his people for a short time in the end, but he came back. Read chapter 13, chapter 12. You see Nehemiah leaving Jerusalem. Brother Clemens, I know you read this. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He left. It says the joy of Jerusalem was heard even from afar off. They were shouting all around as long as Nehemiah stayed in Jerusalem. They got the temple worship restored. He leaves town. The temple goes to waste. All kinds of wickedness goes on. He comes back, says, why is the house of God forsaken? That's where we are today. Friend, that's where Jesus done. He came. We enjoyed the glory of the only begotten Son of God. And the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. He's gone now for a little while. And it looks like the house of God is forsaken. But honey, hang on. Our Nehemiah, our comforter, our consolation is coming back to town. He'll be here. I don't know when, but I know where. He'll be back. Amen. Nehemiah is a type and similarity. Not a full type, but you see similarities. And by the way, if you read your Bible and you ain't looking for Jesus, you're looking for the wrong thing. If you ain't trying to find Jesus in your Bible, I can see in the whole book of Nehemiah, I can see in the background behind that black ink in that Bible, I can see the Son of God waving his hand. Hey, I'm over here. Hey! I'm over here. And friend, if you want to get out of the mess you're in your life, and if you want to see a miracle in your mess right where you are, quit looking for answers in the newspaper. Quit looking through some political party. Stop trying to find it in the economy or worried about Wall Street or who it is in our government. Friend, if you want to find a miracle in your mess, you need to be looking for a Nehemiah. How to show up. He's the comforter. He's your consolation. There's a miracle in your mess. This miracle Why was there a miracle in this mess? Now I've got your attention that we can all kind of see a little bit about Nehemiah. Let me give you two or three things. We got food again tonight. Brother Dean was pretty brave standing between y'all and the food. I mean, he said the food's back yonder, and I was thinking, my God, brother, the only thing between them and the food is you. Now, I know you're a pretty big boy, but I'd have an idea that this crowd could probably run right through you and get to that food. So, there was a miracle in this mess because, number one, of Nehemiah's notification. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. It says, and they said unto me, the remnant, here's this crowd that came to Nehemiah that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. Let me tell you why this miracle all got worked out and this mess in Jerusalem got solved. It was because somebody had enough gumption about them to say, somebody's got to go tell the comforter. Somebody's got to go notify Nehemiah. Somebody's got to let him know. Friend, that's where we're at tonight. Somebody in this building has got to be able to get in touch with Nehemiah. Somebody go to the king's house and tell Nehemiah what's going on down here. We're in reproach. The land lies waste. But there's a miracle somewhere in this mess. Let me show you two or three things about this notification. Number one, notice Nehemiah's prayer of intercession. If you'll notice in verse number 4, he says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. This is a picture of the Lord's burden for His people. Now remember, we're looking at Nehemiah as a type of the Lord. And fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Watch verse number 6. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Watch, both I and my father's house have sinned. Once Nehemiah was notified, you see a prayer of intercession. Some people say, well, where's Jesus praying at? I'm glad you asked that question. In John chapter number 17, you see the Lord's Prayer. That's where Jesus is praying for me and you. That's the prayer of intercession tonight. You want me to tell you, I'm about to have a shouting spell right now. And I didn't never heard anything about happy bubbles till I heard Brother Dean this morning. I've got a happy bubble right now. I can tell you right now, friend, why you and I can get out of the mess we're in. There's a miracle in our mess. It's because, listen, I might not be praying for you. Your preacher might not be praying for you. Your deacons might not be praying for you. There might not be nobody praying for you. But there's a Nehemiah. There's a man named Jesus. I'm on his prayer list. You're on his prayer list. There's a miracle. I said, there's a miracle in this mess because of Nehemiah being notified. Prayer of intercession. Notice his plan of restoration. Verse number 12, chapter number 2. It says, and I arose in the night. Huh? I hope y'all are seeing what I'm seeing. You remember Jesus getting up in the night in the Garden of Gethsemane? Y'all remember that? He got up in the night. He arose from the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch. I and some few men with me, neither I told any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. And they didn't understand what Jesus had come to do. They didn't nobody know. Jesus had never point blank told them. But when he went to Calvary, if you notice what happened in verse number 12, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. A friend, I see a pretty picture that when Jesus come up out of the Garden of Gethsemane on Palm Sunday. If you remember, there was a colt tied. He sent some men, said, y'all go loose her and bring her to me. There'd never been nobody on it. But Jesus rode that colt, that donkey down in Jerusalem as they waved them palm trees. What was Jesus doing on that glorious day? He had a plan of restoration in mind. Hey, friend, you was on His mind and I was on His mind. He come to restore you and I. That's why there's a miracle in your mess, because Jesus has got a plan to restore you and I. Number three, notice His promise of completion. Chapter 2, verse number 20. The Bible says, then answered I them, this is Nehemiah, and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore we His servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. He was saying God's going to prosper us. In other words, it will be completed. What God starts, He finishes. He don't leave a job halfway undone. You look at your life right now, and if you're in a mess, if you've got God in your life, He's done started cleaning up, picking up the broken pieces. Friend, I can promise you your life is going to be built back. I don't care if you've got a teenager that's gone rogue. I don't care if you've got a husband that's gone after other women. I don't care if you've got a wife that's trying to act like she's 22 and catch the eyes of everybody else. I don't care what's going on in your little world right now. Friend, if God is in your life and He's picking up the broken pieces, praise God, you can rest assured that it'll come to pass. There'll come a day your walls will be rebuilt. You'll feel the protection of God and the peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, thank God there's a miracle in my mess. There's a miracle in this mess because of Nehemiah's notification. There was a miracle in this mess because of Nehemiah's participation. If you notice in verse 17, then said I, and I'm glad he don't mind talking back to us. You see the distress that we are in. Nehemiah wasn't in no mess until he decided to get in the mess. Jesus never had been in no mess until He decided to get in our mess. Friend, aren't you glad that He ain't scared? A lot of times we see people's lives that's got trouble. We as Baptists would say, now, I don't know if y'all heard, but y'all better watch you hanging out over there. Well, that one over there, because they trouble. They got all kinds of issues. And you know the saying now, if you lay with dogs, you're going to get fleas. That's what everybody says. And you better be careful. And that, their life is in shambles. And I don't know if I'd be caught eating breakfast with them having a cup of coffee. That might not be too good for you right now. And sometimes even when they come to church, we'll look at them, we'll say, my God, what in the world are they doing here? And we, some reason or other, feel like everybody that can, I hope I didn't spit on you. If I did, I'm sorry. We'll look at people and we'll think, I can't believe they'd come in the church. Y'all hear about that person right there. Their life's a mess. And then we look at them funny, and it's hard to get people to go over and shake their hands because we're a little cliquish anyway. We only shake the hands of those that we know and that we're buddies with. And the whole time that person's trying to find somebody to help them pick up the broken pieces in their life. And we're just as guilty as those that are in Jerusalem. Does anybody care what's going on in the lives of other people? It's like we look at them and we say, I can't do nothing about that. They too far gone. Too much work involved in that one. I mean, we're going to have to get scaffold butts out. We're going to have to get walk boards. We're going to have to get trowels. We're going to have to get, somebody's got to make mud. Where are we going to get the sand at? And we got to chip all these old broken pieces and get them to where they fit back in the wall again. My God, helping them people out is going to take too much time and too much effort. Friend, what about some of your lives? What about my life? Hey, friend, when God got a hold of us, we was all a bunch of rubbish. We was all laying ruin. But I'm glad, thank God, Nehemiah took it on his own part to get in my mess and participate in my life. Me too. His participation. Why did Nehemiah participate in these people's lives? Three or four reasons. Number one, because he saw their feelings needed healing. If you look at verse 17, then he said to them, you see the distress that we are in. He saw their feelings was hurt. Man, they were broken. His brother Clemens was mentioning a while ago. They was hurting. They was broken. Their home place was tore apart. Their feelings was in shambles. I know a lot of times we try to play things off and we act real tough. And to be honest with you, if it wasn't for nerve pills, half of us wouldn't be near as tough as we think we are. Only reason most of us are tough is either we take some good nerve pills or we'll send it as a text or we'll expose it on Facebook because we'll say things there that we wouldn't normally say. And we'll act real tough and bold. And then we don't really care if we hurt people's feelings or not. Friend, I've had my feelings hurt. And I'll be honest with you. Y'all are some of God's choicest people. And I pastor some of them myself. I got a bunch of good, solid, saved, born-again rednecks. Brother Clemens been there. I wasn't one of them he was talking about. He didn't worry about preaching at my place. I don't book him no more anyway, so we ain't worried about it. I'm just kidding. No, he's going to be back at my place, I hope, Jubilee this coming year. I pastor some of the same people, Brother Ken. And I've had my feelings hurt from some of God's people before. Break my heart. People you love. People you try to be there for and help them and love them and try to encourage them and give them your life. And all of a sudden, it hurts and it breaks your heart. And there's a lot of people today whose feelings are hurt. They're emotionally distraught. And they're coming to Jerusalem to look for some help. And listen, friend, I'm glad that God can help me and you when our feelings are destroyed. Nehemiah can comfort us. Their feelings needed healing. Their families needed hope. Said in verse 17, they lieth waste. Could you imagine being a family in Jerusalem? Their future needed help. Things wasn't getting no better around there. It was getting worse. Nobody seemed to care. There was a spirit of apathy, per se, around Jerusalem. As if nobody cared about the future of Jerusalem and that city. You see, those walls was to be built up to not only keep invaders out, but to keep God's people and the families and the little kids in. I've never seen such apathy. People that seemingly don't care about the state of the church and what's going on in Jerusalem. The future of the church, listen, it might not be everywhere. And by the way, all places ain't like Liberty Baptist Church. This is not the norm. This is an exception, not the rule. And if somebody don't go notify Nehemiah, and get him to participate in the mess that's going on in Jerusalem, we won't have no future. These little youngins around here are blessing. This morning I was sitting over on the front row. I told Mama Rose, that's Sister Renee, and I hope she's all right with me calling her that from the pulpit. That's the name I give her, and it stuck. It really did. But I was telling her when those kids started giving that money in that bucket, Brother Dean was up here. Y'all have done that to me before. That's one of the most humbling things that a preacher can ever go through. I didn't want to take it. Matter of fact, I left the money up here sitting on the front pew. I didn't want to take it. I wanted to leave it. I did. I was like, my God, them young'uns, bless their heart. And I look around, I see all these precious little kids, and they are a blessing. And down here around the altar and up here singing in Jerusalem, even though there's much rubbish around here, and the kids can't even see it. What I'm saying, Liberty Baptist Church, is somebody's got to go and get a hold of Nehemiah so he'll participate and there'll be a future for these children. These kids. Let me give you a fourth one. Not only Nehemiah participated because he saw their feelings needed healing, their families needed hope, their future needed help, but their foes needed hushing. Look at verse number 17. You see the distress we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. Here it is. There will be no more a reproach. You know what that word reproach means? That means people is talking about them, putting them down, saying, looking at God's people over there, their lives in a mess. Look at them, ha, 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 and a he, 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 and they ain't got it together. Broken pieces everywhere. Families' lives are in shambles. That's why Nehemiah got a burden. He said, bless God, I've heard enough. Hey, might nobody else care, but I'm going to go down there. And that's what Jesus did too. He said, the devil's been having a heyday. It's time to shut the devil's mouth up. He went to Calvary and died for you and I to hush the devil's mouth. That's why I participated. I can't wait to one day see him, hush him for eternally. I'm like Brother David Phillips. One of these days when we all get to heaven, I stand there and right before they throw the devil into the lake of fire, I want to get me a big old chew of heavenly red, man. I'm going to do it in front of all of you too and won't care then. And I'm like Brother David, I'd like to turn that rotisserie at least for, let me get my turn on it and turn the rotisserie while the devils are being scalded and every time he makes a round, spit some backer juice in his eye while I'm a turning it. Why? Hush him up about people's lives being in a mess. And if you're one of those that's a reproach to other people whose life is in a mess, you're no better than the devil yourself. Hey, friend, there's a miracle in the lives of these people's mess. And we ought to be in the restoration business. There's a miracle in the mess because of Nehemiah's notification. Nehemiah's participation. Last point, I'm done. Nehemiah's compassion. Some people say, you mean Nehemiah really cared and showed his love? Yeah. Nehemiah never said that he loved them. He showed them that he loved them. Jesus not only said he loved us, but he showed us he loved us. We'd do a whole lot better to show people our love than to say we love somebody. How can we see Nehemiah's love? Four ways. Number one, watch this. You can see Nehemiah's compassion in the distance that he traveled. If you look on your map when you get home, from where Nehemiah was to Jerusalem, nearly 1,000 miles. It's quiet in here. They didn't have no subway station. They didn't have no airport. Thank God for that. They didn't have no bus. They didn't even have a Chevrolet, but they did have Fords because they walked everywhere they went. I felt God all over that, didn't y'all? Nearly 1,000 miles that old Nehemiah traveled, either by foot or camel. And it says that he got on a beast when he rode into Jerusalem. So he might have had a donkey of some sort and rode it all the way. Imagine how long it took him to get from one place to another. Friend, if that ain't love, I don't know what is. He put his life on the line. He left the king's house. He went all that distance to come. But hey, wait a minute. You want me to tell you why you can get out of your mess tonight and why there's a miracle in your mess? 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus who left the portals of glory. He traveled a long distance, come to this earth. Why did he come to earth and travel so far? He wanted to prove his love to me and you. He sacrificed it all and come this far just to get you and I out of our mess. The distance that he traveled. Number two, the death that he tempted. Watch this. We know he tempted death. He could have been killed just like Jesus. The duty that he traded. He left that position of honor. But watch this. In verse number 6, this is my last point. The disgrace that he took. Hold on. I skipped over it and dealt with it just a little bit. When Nehemiah prayed in verse number 6 of chapter 1, he put their sin on him. Though Nehemiah never done nothing, he was not guilty of what they was guilty of. And he said, our sin, my sin, and theirs. Can I tell you what Jesus done? Jesus showed His compassion to you and I by putting your sin and your sin and your sin and my sin. He took it upon Himself. There's a miracle in your mess. Because Jesus made it possible. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, thine, Lord? The answer I may never know. Why He ever loved me so. But to an old rugged cross He would go. For who am I? I think about me and everything that I'd ever done in my life, Brother Bart. I think about it. Sometimes I get hard-hearted. Being a pastor, sometimes you forget how much Jesus loves all of us. And you get hard-hearted toward people, and sometimes I get judgmental. When I think about it, He loves me when I'm the same way. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. This I know. You can get out of your mess tonight. He loves you. Most people don't like to hear that. They don't care if you're a drunkard. I don't care if you're a pothead. I don't care if you're a whoremonger. I don't care if you're a thief, a liar, a robber, a crook. He loves you tonight. Nehemiah showed his love before they ever even told him they loved him. And by the way, I've never read in the book of Nehemiah where any of them even said thank you. Nobody ever told him they loved him for doing what he done. And by the way, get this. He loved them before they ever went to church. He was showing his love to them. They didn't even tote a Bible. He was showing his love to them. He never even saw them. He didn't know if they had their tie on right, if their hair was cut right. He didn't even know if they had a suit on. He showed his love to them before he ever saw them. But I'll tell you this, and we're all guilty of it. Most of them, Nehemiah come to help. The devil's crowd was a-fighting him the whole time. And most of the people on the wall couldn't do nothing but grumble. There's a miracle in your mess. Yours. Let's all stand up tonight. I want the Corbett's come, Miss Nancy.